foreign reviews of the presidential election have been, well, there's no kind way to put it, scathing. The term banana republic is being tossed around the world's editorial columns like a beach ball. Bizarre, parody, charade, and idiotic are all popular, too. Libération in Paris compared the Florida recount to a World Cup soccer match being decided by penalty kicks. Britain's Daily Mirror weighed in with laughingstock. South Africa's Independent described reaction as ranging from bemusement to contempt, while the August Times of London described the Electoral College as the swollen appendix of the American body politic. For a more detailed reaction, we contacted Leonard Doyle in London. He's the foreign editor of the British daily newspaper, The Independent. Behind some of those lines, I mean, you can certainly detect an element of taking a shot at Uncle Sam, who can sometimes be a little bit earnest and perhaps overbearing. But is there an element of seriousness behind some of that criticism as well?
Well, people are incredibly interested in the result of the election, or in the kind of effort to find a result of the election. And there have been attempts, of course, as you point out, to sneer and to kind of ridicule the whole situation. But I think people are genuinely worried that the thing could go out of control, that people want and expect a kind of an orderly transition, and have been alarmed by some of the kind of worries expressed by the correspondents that while it might go smoothly, it could also result in the kind of lawyers ripping your elegant constitution to shreds.
Parts of that constitution, previously unread, I suspect, in European capitals are now being pored over.
Well, I'm not sure how well they've been read in your own country, because I think the impression I got is that a lot of people didn't actually know what the College of Electors was, and we too are learning here, and people are getting increasingly fascinated by the incredible detail and learning every day as they go along. And there's an enormous and growing appetite. Our correspondents are saying, can you please scale down the coverage? We can't keep up with it.
I think it was your newspaper pointed out, quote, at moments like this, the cumbersome precision of the American constitutional process is a blessing. Imagine in such an impasse that transition in Washington followed the British model, whereby power passes instantly, almost brutally, after a general election.
Well, it does, and it's always an extraordinary sight to see that the minute the votes are counted in the UK, the moving vans have moved in, and the tearful occupant is kind of being shipped off to obscurity usually. So, I mean, the American system is a more elegant system and is a more careful system and is designed, no doubt, to keep populists from grabbing the reins of power too quickly. And I think people have been fascinated by the whole thing and just are fascinated and at the same time worried and interested and trying to keep up with it.
Was there a favored candidate amongst, I mean, European governments? Any government is sort of loath to say, you know, we're for one guy or the other. Heaven forfend, the other guy should win. But was there one candidate who most governments in Europe were in favor of?
That's a little bit hard to say, but I would say that certainly on the media side, I can speak for that, and probably that accounts for others as well. But the general opinion seems to be that in Al Gore, you were dealing with a very seasoned operator and a continuity, and you know, governments and institutions always like continuity. And with George W. Bush, there was a certain element of, you know, how much time is he going to spend in the office, and is he going to make decisions on the fly? You had rather rude remarks in some editorial columns, some people calling him a nincompoop, the BBC calling him hollow. So I think that all kind of fed into a general fear that a Bush administration would be a wobblier one. But by the same token, you know, as we all know, a Gore administration might be a lot more combative and more ornery to deal with now that you've got this very, very tight situation. And the Bush, Governor Bush has proven in the past to be a far more collegiate type of fellow when putting his hand across the divide to the Democrats.
When you're talking about an ornery situation developing, you mean in Washington with the closely divided Congress?
Precisely. If you have to have a situation where you have a de facto need for coalition in order to get any business done, as we have in many European countries, and I realize, of course, you're not going to have coalition governments per se in the United States, but you need this bipartisan accord. And perhaps people are learning it now that Candidate Gore might be a more prickly individual to achieve that than Governor Bush.
Vice President Gore spent some time in Britain when he was younger. I don't believe George W. Bush has ever been there. Is that seen, their level of experience in foreign policies, has that been an issue for people in London and around Europe?
Well, certainly there are worries as to what a George W. Bush foreign policy would be. would he immediately yank American forces out of Bosnia? Would he rapidly scale down American forces in Europe? And there's no doubt that European countries are very concerned to maintain the integration of American forces in Europe and this and the very robust relationship on foreign policy. But frankly, I don't think people are, you know, and I don't think the fact that George W. Bush has or has not been to the UK should make much difference. And he all, and of course he will, you know, he has, it's not like he doesn't have seasoned political advisors around him. Indeed, maybe the policy will be made by these very seasoned political advisors.
Is there much of a distinction seen between their two foreign policies other than, as you pointed out, Condoleezza Rice, one of George W. Bush's advisors, did suggest pulling American troops out of the Balkans? But in broader terms, what are the distinctions as seen from London?
Well, I think one of the big worries in this much flooded country at the moment is global warming. So they'd be keen to see an American administration, a new administration, kind of pushing ahead with attempts to reduce global warming. We've got the Hague Conference going on at the moment with the Americans busily bartering away their kind of limitations on carbon dioxide on emissions. Buying in pollution quotas from other countries. So people are really, really concerned to see that on that front, for one, that you get a kind of sensible and environmentally friendly policy. And, of course, people remember well Vice President Gore's book on the environment and his position on the environment, and would be equally concerned at a more or less a fair Republican attitude coming from the oil-rich or the oil industry-inclined Bush administration.
Was there some surprise after the United States election about the machinery, the process of the election? Was there some belief that all of this was done in a much more high-tech and predictable fashion?
I think people have been genuinely surprised to discover just the absolute extraordinary number of different ways that you can cast your vote across the United States. And you know, it's been a learning process for people here, too, who probably assumed that this was a federal election, as it would be in the UK, for example, where it would be a national election, and to discover that everything is actually a state election and run by states, and this, of course, goes right back to Civil War and all that. I think people have been, you know, fascinated by the detail and amazed and alarmed as well that something so crucial can be decided by the poor Theresa Lepore, as we've been coming to know so well.
Tell us, by way of example, what is a national election like in Britain? What kind of ballot do you vote on?
Well, you have a big sheet of paper with all of the candidates marked out, and it's a bit like you do, and you kind of put your tick in the box, and it's very straightforward, and it usually happens as it does in the United States in your local church hall, where you show up and see, and they see if you're on the register. We don't have ID papers, but it's pretty closely controlled. I can't remember any kind of situation like this ever coming about, although we certainly do have close elections. But it's much more straightforward.
But you're literally putting a check mark with a pencil or a pen on a piece of paper?
Yes, it's the old-fashioned way. Simple as that.
At this point, is it coming clear to you anyway that any one of these candidates would be in better shape after this bruising post-electoral contest, in better shape to govern?
Well, this is what we've been trying to kind of work out, you know, whether, you know, the various scenarios that you can see, presumably you can have a clear victory in Miami, which is increasingly unlikely, or you could have a victory followed by endless recounts, perhaps a hand recount of the whole state, you know, for goodness sakes, followed by all sorts of shenanigans in the Electoral College, and no doubt somebody's looking for their moment of fame and to jump ships there, jump sides. So that would be another scenario, and then you know, the possibility that one of the candidates will just say that we'll just retire gracefully and write themselves into the history books as the person who saved American democracy, the American Constitution, from becoming kind of the plaything of the lawyers. We were amused to see Alan Dershowitz showing up in Florida a little while ago. And so the one thing, certainly on this side of the water, we think is true, is that America loves a show trial, and we're just wondering whether that's not what we're going to see.
Leonard Doyle, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Leonard Doyle, foreign editor of The Independent in London.